ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀರ್ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಸೊ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಸೆವೆಂತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ನಂಬರ್ 3 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿರಣ್ಯಕಶಿಪುಸ್ ಪ್ಲಾನ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಇಮ್ಮಾರ್ಟಲ್. ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 34. ಅನಂತ ಅವ್ಯಕ್ತ ರೂಪೇಣ ಯೇನ ಇದಂ ಅಖಿಲಂ ಚಿತ್ ಅಚಿತ್ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಯುಕ್ತಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಭಗವತೇ ನಮಃ. ಅನಂತಾವ್ಯಕ್ತರೂಪೇಣ ಯೇನೇದಂ ಖಿಲಂ ತತಂ ಚಿದಾಚಿತ್ ಶಕ್ತಿಯುಕ್ತಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಭಗವತೇ ನಮಃ. ಅನಂತಾವ್ಯಕ್ತರೂಪೇಣ ಯೇನೇದಂ ಅಖಿಲಂ ತತಂ ಚಿದಚ್ಚಿಚ್ಛಕ್ತಿಯುಕ್ತಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಭಗವತೇ ನಮಃ. ಅನಂತಾವ್ಯಕ್ತರೂಪೇಣ ಯೇನೇದಂ ಅಖಿಲಂ ತತಂ ಚಿದಚ್ಚಿಚ್ಛಕ್ತಿಯುಕ್ತಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಭಗವತೇ ನಮಃ. ಅನಂತಾವ್ಯಕ್ತರೂಪೇಣ ಚಿದಚ್ಚಿಚ್ಛಕ್ತಿಯುಕ್ತಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಭಗವತೇ ನಮಃ. ಅನಂತಾವ್ಯಕ್ತರೂಪೇಣ ಏನ ಅಖಿಲಂ ಕಥಂ ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್ ಯೇನೇದಂ ಅಖಿಲಂ ತತಂ ಚಿದಚ್ಚಿಚ್ಛಕ್ತಿಯುಕ್ತಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಭಗವತೇ ನಮಃ. ಅನಂತವ್ಯಕ್ತರೂಪೇಣ ಯೇನೇದಂ ಅಖಿಲಂ ತತಂ ಚಿದಚ್ಚಿಚ್ಛಕ್ತಿಯುಕ್ತಾಯ ಅಸ್ಮೈ ಭಗವತೇ ನಮಃ. अनंत अव्यक्त रूपेण बाय द अनलिमिटेड अनमैनिफेस्टेड फॉर्म येन बाय विच इदम दिस अखिलम टोटल एग्रीगेट ततम एक्सपांडेड चित विथ स्पिरिचुअल अचित मटीरियल शक्ति पोटेंसी युक्ताय अंटू ही हु इज एंडाउड तस्मय अंटू हिम भगवते अंटू द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड नमः आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेजेंसेस ट्रांसलेशन लेट मी ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेजेंसेस अंटू द सुप्रीम हु इन हिज अनलिमिटेड unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies and mixed energy called marginal potency, which consists of all the living entities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Suyate, Vividhaiva Shruyate, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests this material world. The internal potency manifests the spiritual world. And the marginal potency manifests the living entities who are mixtures of internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of the Parabrahman, is actually internal potency. But because of being in contact with the material energy, he is an emanation of material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the material energy and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of His pastimes. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त बृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई एक्सप्रेस माय ग्रैटिट्यूड फॉर अलाउंग मी टू सिट हियर इन बिटवीन ऑल ऑफ यू इन वृंदावन धाम सो टुडेज वर्स इज चैप्टर नंबर 3 इन कैंटो 7 वी टॉक्स अबाउट द वेरी बेसिक अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ आवर फिलॉसफी The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of all pleasure and the creator of everything, the maintainer of everything. And He is the person who destroys at His own will through His agencies, the creation that He creates. And He has multiple energies, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate, as our Shastras explain. And through the spiritual potency which is manifested by in the form of Radharani. Through that potency He creates spiritual world. So we have Goloka Vrindavan, we have Dwaraka, Ayodhya and Mathura in the spiritual world. Then we have unlimited Vaikuntha planets, then we have Brahma Jyoti. That is all spiritual world where the repeated cycles of birth and death do not take place. Only loving, enjoying pastimes with the Lord in different rasas take place there. Then there is Viraja River, which divides the material world with the spiritual world. And after the Virija river, there is Mahat Tattva, which is a big cloud which creates darkness of ignorance. And in the shade of that, in the darkness under that Mahat Tattva, all the material creation is there, which is the manifestation of the external energy of the Lord. And the external energy of the Lord is also expansion of the Lord as well as the internal potency of the Lord, which is manifested and personified as Durga Devi or Parvati Devi, who is the controller and maintainer and executor of the prison of the material world, where essentially repeated cycles of birth and death take place. Living entity undergoes repeatedly cycles of birth and death as long as he is independent of the desire of the Lord, trying to enjoy these object of senses. And in between is the creation of the Lord, which is called marginal potency. That means all of us are in marginal potency. Tatastha Shakti. We are all individual living entities. Mamai Vansho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. And individually we are all equal and similar part of the Lord, Satchidananda. And we have tendency to fall for the material objects under the influence of external energy of the Lord. That is our propensity. And when we execute that propensity for enjoyment of objects, then we get contaminated and controlled by the external energy of the Lord. And when we choose to take shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, then we get freed from the bondage of the external energy and we start developing pure devotional service by the mercy of Radharani. But the most important point is, the catch point is the independence that is given to us. The freedom, free will to choose between internal and the external potency of the Lord. To choose to forget the Lord and enjoy the material world and the objects of senses, or to remain under shelter of Radharani and serve the Lord and His devotees. To remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death, or to get freed from cycle of birth and death, even while living in the material world, in this material body also, whether we want to live in a Jivan Mukta condition or we want to live in a condition of complete bondage and suffering. That choice is eternally given to us, because the Lord also is supremely independent. Because of that, we also have some free will which is awarded to us. And the reason behind that free will being awarded to us is that Lord actually wants to love us. The Lord wants to have loving relationship with all of us. And loving relationship cannot be, you know, robotized or programmed. We cannot program somebody to love me, to love us. Love has to be from within the heart, spontaneously erupting, out of choice. If there is no choice, then it can't be called love. It's just a programmed condition. So because the Lord wants us to love Him out of our choice, that's why He has given the free will. And because of the free will, then we choose or misuse, or we use or misuse the choice that Lord has given us. And that is why we keep suffering in this material world. Krishna bhuliya jeev bhogavancha kore, nikatastha maya dhare jhapatiya dhare. All the time we have a choice to remember Krishna and forget the material enjoyment, or forget Krishna and go for enjoyment. But at the same time, when we choose to forget Krishna and go for enjoyment, nikatastha maya tare jhapatiya dhore, we think that we are going to enjoy, we think that we have made a good choice, but there is only suffering, because maya immediately captures us. You know, the word jhapatiya is a very, you cannot really explain in English. What is the meaning of jhapatiya? No, Hindi, Bengali people can understand. It's just completely under control. Very, very painfully under control of somebody else. So maya does that with us. And in the process of forgetting Krishna and enjoying, trying to attempt to enjoy the senses and the objects, we keep getting beaten again and again by failures of enjoyment. We try to attempt. We think next time I will try with more intelligence and more good planning. I will do. This time I failed. And failure is the first step of success. So we go for next attempt. And next attempt we are beaten more. Until the point we come to understand that there is nothing pleasurable in this object of senses in the material world. Until we come to know that in the plant of bitter gourd, we cannot find mango. Till that point, we will keep struggling. We may say, I have searched for a mango on left side of the tree. I have not found it. Maybe it's on right side. Maybe it's on left side. Maybe it's on upper side. Maybe it's on lower side. Maybe it's on back side. But on the plant of bitter gourd, what do you expect? From all sides, you go 10 directions. We are only filed bitter gourd. And you will keep hoping against hope that mango will be available. Mango is available only on mango tree. So when we come to that real understanding that in this material world which is not designed to give me happiness which I need, until we come to know that in the true sense, not just theoretical, you know, class we are hearing, inner realization we get. There is no pleasure in the material world. At that point of time, by the power of realization, the living entity chooses to remember Krishna, to take shelter of Krishna, and to give up the attempt of enjoyment of the sense objects. And that is the story of all of our life. All of our lives are having the same story. We are inside, outside, attempting, not attempting. Sometimes in the company of devotees, we are on this side of the story. Sometimes in the out of company of devotees, we are on this side of the story. Sometimes suffering, sometimes attempting, sometimes enjoying some beautiful nectarian happiness in Krishna consciousness, and sometimes running after the object of material senses. This is a constant struggle that we are going through. In Hindi we call it kashmakash. Kashmakash means constant struggle. Inability to decide what to do exactly. Sometimes we feel this is good, sometimes we feel that is good. But ultimately, the company of sincere devotees of the Lord is the boon. The greatest gift of human life is the association of sincere devotees of the Lord. But when that we come across, then even if we are tempted or pulled or overwhelmed with the temptation of the senses and the objects, the power of association of sincere devotees pulls us back. The way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held the shikha of Chaitanya and pulled him from the bhattaris and brought him back to devotees. Like that, we get pulled out from the suffering condition. And the worst thing of this whole thing is that when we are suffering, still we think of enjoying. That is the amazing thing in the material world. We are actually suffering, but still we think that we will enjoy, and we are kind of enjoying only. But only when we enjoy pure spiritual happiness in the company of devotees, we actually come to know what is enjoyment. Enjoyment in the material world is absence of misery. Srila Prabhupada explains so many times in his books. The so-called happiness in the material world is simply absence of the miseries that are now supposed to be there. There's a gap sometimes in between two miserable conditions. So we think that is happiness. It's a negative concept. But ananda, that is, which is our constitutional nature, that ananda is something that we have to experience. We cannot just go on explaining in the class what is ananda. Ananda is having no counterpart. Like sukha has counterpart as dukkha. Dukkha has counterpart as sukha. But ananda has no counterpart. Ananda has absolute concept. Absolute spiritual concept. And that is what the soul is seeking for. I mean, the soul gets that experience of ananda, then there is a realization. Yes, now I want to have this more. And when there is ananda experience, then only renunciation from the attraction of material objects is possible. Falsely, you cannot say no. Because the more you say no, the more attraction develops. Why no? But when there is experience of ananda, then there is a natural renunciation. So that is why our path of bhakti, it is not important in the path of bhakti to have renunciation as a prime object. Renunciation is important ingredient of the path of bhakti, but it is not the prime object. We are not here to become renunciants. We are not here to become jnanis, but we want to accumulate a lot of knowledge. In fact, if knowledge and renunciation is not coupled up with devotion, it becomes a hindrance in bhakti. It becomes badha, it becomes obstacle in the path of bhakti. Whichever is glorified goodness in the material world, if it is not connected with Krishna, it becomes obstacle. Even liberation, even moksha, even liberation from cycles of birth and death can become obstruction on the path of devotion, because then it becomes selfish desire. I want liberation. So anything which is not coupled up with Krishna can actually serve us as maya, can actually serve us for entanglement further in the material world, although appearing to be so-called spiritual activities. So we need to very intelligently and scrutinizingly decide what is the ultimate goal of our life. And that ultimate goal of our life is known in the company of devotees. Nobody else in the world can tell us the ultimate purpose of life except the sincere devotees. And the purpose of life is to please the Lord. To be precise and focused and pinpointed, the focus of life, goal of life, purpose of life is to please the Lord only, irrespective of whether I get pleasure or not, irrespective of whether I get moksha or not, irrespective of whether I get association of the Lord in His abode or not. The highest goal of all is Sansiddhir Hari Toshanam, to be pleasing the Lord. And even if the pleasure of the Lord is with my displeasure, His pleasure is coupled up with my pain. I have to undergo pain, like gopis underwent pain of separation. And He was happy, and they were also happy in making Him happy. To that extent, when we are convinced that this is the purpose of life, then our life is successful. While we are in the body of repeated birth and death, and janma mrutyu jara vyadhi, or whether we are liberated, in all the conditions of life, if the goal of life is to, goal of existence is to please the Lord, then our life is successful. Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Gaur Nithai ki, Radha Shyam Sundar Bhagavan ki. So this is Srila Prabhupada's contribution. Srila Prabhupada has very boldly, fearlessly propagated this essential purpose of life in the era where Mayavad was very predominant. Mayavad, India was completely, you know, even today also, but it's not so much, but today the materialism is conquering the old situation. Everybody is materially motivated into completely enjoyments and mode. But in the olden days, when Prabhupada was preaching, impersonalism was so rampant and predominant in India. And those who know the history of India, they will actually understand the glory of Prabhupada, how bold, how fearless he was. To preach that Supreme Personality of Godhead is a person, the very terminology he designated, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody could even fathom the understanding of this deep definition. And he is a person, a supreme person. And to please him is a goal of life. Not to become one with him, to merge with him, or to get moksha, to get liberated. He didn't compromise. He gave us the highest understanding of the purpose of life. That means whether we go to Goloka or not, whether we keep coming again and again here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mama Janmani Janmani Shware Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahitokitvai. That means even I don't want moksha also. What does it mean when we come again and again? That means we don't get moksha. And in that situation, even if I come back again and again, I'm not sure whether I'll come to hell or come to earth or come to heavenly planets or come as animal or other lower species. But in all conditions of my life, O my Lord, please let me have your unconditional, unmotivated devotional service to you. That is the goal of devotee's life. And that Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has given us in essence. What Saraswati, the daughter of Malati Mataji, could say at age of 1 year, that is the glory of ISKCON. That even the smallest of person, the most neophyte person, the earliest person in ISKCON movement knows this, that we are here to please the Lord. And we are here to ultimately become devotee of the Lord. And He is the Supreme Person and we are His servants. That basic understanding is very important to begin with. Because if our beginning point of the journey is perfect, then the road can be perfect and the destination can be also perfectly achieved. But we are placed ourselves, if we are placed in the wrong direction, wrong place, the whole journey can be wrong. But Prabhupada is putting us on right beginning point. Bring us back to right beginning point, in right stance, to run the race, begin the race. And very amazingly, now we'll go back to the background of this shloka. Very amazingly, if you read the purport Prabhupada is writing, of course, is a pure devotee of the Lord. But if you read the shloka, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who is unlimited, unmanifested form of, has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of universe. He possesses external, internal energies, mixed energy, perfect philosophy. But who is speaking this? Hiranyakashipu is speaking this. Huh? And who is he addressing as Supreme? He is addressing Brahma as Supreme. That is another problem. So, if you go behind, read few slokas behind and few slokas further, you learn, come to know that the whole situation began with Hiranyakashipu doing very strenuous tapasya, which caused blazing fire from his head and which was affecting all the higher planets. Their life became miserable, their temperature became so, there was so much global warming there that everybody ran to Brahma. Please do something, this guy is doing something which is absolutely unreasonable. Please save us, our existence is in misery. So Lord Brahma didn't come out of great pleasure and satisfaction to give boon to this disciple or to the follower. He was like kind of forced, you know. Unwillingly he had to come to solve the situation of this distress and misery caused by this tapasvi. His tapasya is causing misery. So he came down and asked, what is the problem? Why are you doing such kind of severe tapasya? So first question he asked, first reason, answer he gave, I want to become immortal. What is the chapter title? Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. So all his tapasya, all his hard endeavor of doing whatever he is doing, which no human being, even in the circle of devotees, have done what Hiranyakashipu has done. Standing on one toe, 1,000 celestial years, his body completely being eaten up by ants and moth. Hardly bones are there and life air is moving in the bones. There is no flesh. Imagine, one pointed fixture on one toe of one leg only. And fire coming out of the head and disturbing even all the demigods. So then he says, what is the problem? He says, I want to become immortal. So the first answer Brahma gives, I cannot make you immortal because I am myself not immortal. This first wrong number, wrong dialing. Huh? So he is thinking that Brahma has come, that means Brahma is Supreme Personality of Godhead and he will award me immortality. And see, if I was Brahma, for example, it's a question of my dignity. If somebody is asking me something and I cannot give, I will manipulate the statement in different ways. If I am a person with false ego, Brahma is so honest actually. He is not thinking, oh, I am Brahma, I have come down and I am unable to give his boon. That means such a demeaning position for me, such an embarrassment for me. No, he is very honest. Devotees of the Lord are very honest. If somebody asks you something in the class and you can't answer, you should say, I don't know, I will study, maybe I will ask my Guru Maharaj. But try to answer that question in the manipulative way just to see that I am in the Vyasasan, I must be able to answer that question. No, Brahma is very honestly telling Hiranyakashipu, I am myself not immortal. My life is going to end one day. What to speak of giving you immortality? So sorry sir, I cannot give you that. But still the crookedness in the mind of this tapasvi is not ending. He is thinking, I will manipulate this person and make him give me something which is almost like immortality. So he made a list of things, how one can die in this situation. and all the things he covered. Along with that, all the siddhis that is possible for a living entity, all the power that is possible for a living entity, all the control that is possible for a living entity, everything he asked for. And everything Brahmaji gave. So in this interaction between Hiranyakashipu and Brahmaji, we can see, we can feel there is no ease. Do you feel ease in this? It's discomfort there actually. This person is asking something which is unreasonable, and definitely it is going to harm the universe, harm the living entities, but still, because of the power of his tapasya, I have to award him, because the law of nature is that when you do tapasya, you have to be rewarded. Demigods have to reward. So the purpose of asking all these things is not simple, that I want to get all these things to become pure devotee of the Lord. Now the purpose is very clear. I am manipulating the authority here, trying to get something out of it in such a way that I can become the controller of the universe, rule the universe, and by the way, in the brackets, kill my enemy, Lord Vishnu. That is the consciousness of this person who is doing tapasya. That is why it is said, tapasya, however powerful it does not make person reach the Lord. It does not impress the Lord, does not influence the Lord favorably. Tapasya is not the thing which can actually attract the attention of the Lord. Tapasya, knowledge, dan, dharma, donation, charitable nature, or meditation, or performing yajna, or performing pilgrimage, taking darshans, taking dips in the holy rivers all over the world, visiting all the holy places, any of these cannot impress the Lord. What can impress the Lord is Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. As per Rupa Goswami, what is Sri Krishna Akarshani is only Shuddha Bhakti. And we cannot try to impress the Lord with our tapasya. One will fail miserably if he tries to impress the Lord with tapasya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also kicked out that milk, Brahmachari drinking milk. And he told openly, does he think that he can achieve my mercy by drinking milk only? Does he think that following the vrata of only drinking milk can award him pure bhakti? It's illusion, it's nonsense. Throw him out of the Srivasangan. So Lord is trying to explain to us that the motivation to please him cannot be based on simple tapasya or simple knowledge or simple this thing. It has to be with devotion. So here, the interaction between two personalities is very unnatural. Somehow Brahma has to manage this person. Somehow Brahma has to do the needful to contain this person. Otherwise he will burn the whole universe with the fire coming out. He has to consider the welfare. Sometimes he give something to a dog so that he can be quiet and not bite everybody else out of hunger. So we give something so that he keeps busy in eating and others are saved. So like that, this one person who is creating such nuisance in the whole universe, the universe has to be saved. So okay, take these boons. And what did he do? Immediately after that he went and controlled everybody, defeated everybody, conquered everybody and harassed everybody. He made demigods wash his rooms, wash his clothes and fill water and clean his apartments and assemblies and everything. Made menial service, no? It's not a very pleasing condition. Just by pleasing Brahma, getting some boons, you are creating so much happiness in the world. You are creating misery for everybody, especially for enemies, differentiating. And then look at the communication, the dialogue took place between Dhruva and the Lord. Or Prahlad and the Lord. Here Hiranyakashipu is saying, make me immortal, give me this, give me that. And there Lord is saying, Prahlad, take, I want to give you, please take. And Prahlad is saying, my Lord, I am not a businessman. Don't consider me as a businessman. I have not done anything for getting something from you in exchange. Don't consider me as a businessman. I am your devotee. I don't want anything. I am so happy that you have come. No. Lord is saying, no, you must take something. You are my devotee. You underwent so much for me. Huh? What is Prahlad saying? No, my Lord, I didn't undergo anything. I was simply chanting your name. Oh, they threw you in the fire. They threw you off the cliff. They gave you poison. No, my Lord, every time you saved me. They threw me off the cliff. You caught me under down. They gave me poison and you made it not act only on me. The snakes didn't bite me. The elephant didn't trample me. I didn't do any tapasya. I just was remembering you, my Lord. Lord is saying, no, no, no. You did tapasya. And then the Lord is saying, you have to take something from me. So Prahlad, just to please the Lord, huh? Not for something for himself. Now Lord is going to be pleased if I say, take something from him. So he said in response to please him, that please deliver my father. He is, I think, going to suffer a lot because of whatever has happened. The same father is here talking to Brahma, creating a very unreasonable, uncomfortable discussion. And the same son of that person, Prahlad, is having such beautiful discussion. And Lord is eagerly ready to bestow upon him what he wants to bestow. And the devotee is still not interested in that. But to please the Lord, he is accepting. And what is his request to the Lord? He is saying that, I have only one fear. I don't want to offend devotees. Very much fearful of this one activity. I may sometimes knowingly, unknowingly offend your devotee, my Lord. So please protect me from that tendency or happening of offending a devotee. This is a healthy discussion. Natural discussion. And there is Dhruva and Lord. Dhruva also came with some motivation. But when the Lord appeared to him, what is Dhruva saying? Yes, my Lord, finally achieved you. Now give me that Dhruvloka. Nobody should kick me out of the place. My father insulted me. Good, you appeared to me. I am successful in my tapasya to achieve you. Now please give me that boon and make me happy. He is saying, oh my Lord, I saw you now. I feel all that I wanted was a piece of glass. And you are a diamond. You are a rarest jewel. After achieving you and having you, your darshan, I feel, why should I go for those pieces of glasses? I don't want pieces of glass. I'm happy, my Lord. Still the Lord said, no, I will give you what you came for. Because the world will say that this worship of Vishnu is useless. So people will lose faith in me. Please accept. In the detached way you accept it. In the mood of service you accept it. So he accepted it. He got Dhruvloka. 36,000 years he ruled. But he never forgot the Lord. And never got entangled in that enjoyment of having that position on Dhruvloka. He didn't become proud because he was on Dhruvloka. He didn't look down upon others, other demigods or anybody else, because he said, now I am in a planet where nobody can achieve. It is explained that even demigods cannot achieve Dhruvloka. Dhruvloka is a very extraordinary planet. Lord has created only for Dhruva. Nobody could be ever qualified to be there as ruler. So it was very easy to become proud. No? At the age of 5, you are achieving something which demigods cannot achieve. But Dhruva, ever you read in the history, that he became very proud, then he harassed Brahma, then he harassed Indra, he threw all the demigods out of their positions and he conquered everything, he used all the powers because Lord was behind him. No. So the point we are trying to understand here is consciousness. We can see the consciousness of Hiranyakashipu and see the consciousness of Prahlad and Dhruva in the dialogues that they had with the Lord or with the authority. When the consciousness is wrong, the result is wrong. When the consciousness is wrong, the knowledge that we get is wrong. The understanding that we get also is wrong. He is considering this person is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And is addressing him with the perfect knowledge of Vedas. And somebody reads this sloka only, say, wow, what a wonderful, Hiranyakashipu must be pure devotee of the Lord. He has such beautiful knowledge. This Hiranyakashipu also is, at one point of time, is consoling Hiranyaksha's wives in Bhagavatam. And if you read that, my God, what a counseling. What words, what knowledge. And how choicest word is using to console his sister-in-laws. That time also you feel, hey, this personality has so much knowledge. But even if knowledge is there, it is said that even if somebody gives perfect class, he can be a demon. A demon which is completely inimical to the Lord, inimical to his devotees of the Lord, can give a perfect Bhagavatam class. Because knowledge is not the criteria for one's consciousness. Knowledge is something which is achieved. What is important is realization. The realized knowledge is very important, what we have understood in our life in practical way, the spiritual platform. So Somebody gives a very impressive class doesn't mean that he is a pure devotee. We can receive the pure knowledge from that personality. But ultimately, what we do in our life on a practical level proves where our consciousness is and proves where we are going to go, our destination. So the goal of life is definitely to, we have to still understand the scriptures. Prabhupada has given so many beautiful scriptures. We have to understand that. But we need to apply that with the help of devotees in our life and be on the path of bhakti. Without that bhakti, this knowledge becomes a burden which will sink us in the ocean of nations much faster without devotion. The same knowledge can become a burden to drown us further, faster in the cycle of birth and death. But when the consciousness is fine, even if we don't have knowledge, even if we don't have so many tapasyas we have not done, some impressive activities we have not done, for example, still Lord will accept us. Because ultimately what is attracting to Him is our consciousness. When the consciousness is pure, Lord is attracted. And how to make the consciousness pure? Srila Prabhupada has given us a formula to chant the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. To follow the four regulatory principles of freedom, he has mentioned. Regulatory principles of freedom. We think we are bound by the four regulatory principles. But they are actually freeing us from the cycle of birth and death. So following four principles of freedom, eating prasad of the Lord only, hearing about the Lord, serving the Lord, reading scriptures, hearing about Him, and associating with His sincere devotees. Very important. All these four things, chanting, following principles, hearing, serving, eating prasadam, can be nicely motivated and we can keep inspiring ourselves, remain inspired only by the company of devotees. That comes first. A. Association. B. Books. C. Chanting. D. Diet. That is prasadam. And when we do this regularly, this contaminated consciousness, what appears here in Hiranyakashipu, is there with us also. Because the Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, all are within us actually, in Kali Yuga. Within one heart, there is devotional tendency, there is demonic tendency, in one heart only. And we have to extinguish the demonic tendency, then we have to regularly keep on following this regime of Shuddha Bhakti. Then the crooked consciousness can be converted into simple consciousness. What was most impressive to the Lord in Vrindavan, that simplicity of the hearts of Brijvasis. What is Lord impressed by? The simplicity of the heart. What is within is without. What you say, what you do. What you do, what you say. It is said in scriptures that when we do what we say, we become worshipable. It is a very important virtue. In Kali Yuga, generally what we say, we don't do. We only say and get claps from people, applaud. But what we say and when we do the same thing, Lord accepts us as worshipable. We become worshipable from the point of view of the Lord. So when we may speak few words, but better we speak those words which we can follow ourselves. We preach those words which we are already following ourselves or we are going to follow ourselves. Then because of the purity of the soul, which is the actual force, we can change ourselves also and affect the heart of people also whom we are talking to. By our quoting shlokas, you know, like river, currents of river, transformation of the heart may not take place. The transformation of heart will take place when there is pure consciousness, because that is a real force. So we may follow something and then preach. For example, one mother took one boy, her son, to a sadhu, saying that this boy is eating too many sweets. I am not able to convince him. He is not listening to me. Maybe he will listen to you. You are a sadhu. So sadhu said, come after 7 days. So after 7 days, he got the son back to the sadhu and sadhu said, my dear son, do not eat sweets. And the son stopped eating sweets. So the mother said, in one line you convinced him, why you didn't tell him on the first day only? The problem could have been 7 days earlier solved. You made us wait for 7 more days. He said, at the day one, when you came, I was myself eating sweets. So I first gave up the sweets. To gain the power in my vani, to affect the heart of the sun, I had to practice something truly. I could have said the same thing as a dialogue in the day one. It wouldn't have had any effect on the heart of the sun. But I wanted the result for you. So I gave up sweets. And then I told one simple line, beta, don't eat sweets. And he gave up sweets. This is the secret of preaching. If you want really to become devotee, then we have to practice what we are going to tell that person. Do not tell lies, and we are found telling lies everywhere, right and left and center. Then the person will never follow whatever you are saying. But with sincere heart, when somebody tells you something, please take the holy name. The holy name is the only means by which we can save ourselves from the suffering of the world and attain the feet of the Lord and the ultimate happiness. Please, my dear friend, chant the holy name. And if you really believe in what you are saying, then it will affect the heart of the person who is listening to you. So what is important is consciousness. When the consciousness is right, the dialogue that takes place is natural. Out of love, out of spontaneity, the dialogue takes place. When the consciousness is wrong, when you see Ravan and Shiva, he also did tapasya and pleased Shiva. And Kumbhakarna was there. What was the result? They got a lot of boons they got. But it was all discomfort was there. He came and, you know, hurry, I'm Ravan, so I must not offer Dandavat like others do. So I should do something extraordinary. So he lifted Kailash and, you know, put him under the Kailash as if it's Dandavat, like my head is under. I'm not ordinary personality. I'm Ravan. The ahankar, the pride is my ornament. That's what he's thinking. I should do something unusual. So this is unusually he offered Dandavat by lifting Kailash. And Parvati was wondering, who is this? He is my devotee, Ravan. Why is he doing like this? Because he is Ravan. He has this kind of consciousness. So the boons were given to him. But what is the result of that? You think Lord Shiva was very happy to give him what he wanted to give? No, because he was a demigod. He had to give something, so he had to give. And then Kumbhakarna, they had to manipulate and put Saraswati on the tongue of Kumbhakarna, and instead of Indrasan, he said Nidrasan. So he said Tathastu, and he went to sleep. All unnatural situations are happening. But Bibhishan came in front of Lord Shiva. Love, natural benediction was there. So we have to understand, ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam tathaiva bhajamyaham. The Lord will respond to us accordingly, as per our consciousness. The Lord is capable of cursing us, capable of being negligent to us, neutral to us, or the Lord is capable of bestowing overwhelming benedictions to us of bhakti. He can do anything. He is abhigya swarat. He is most powerful, most capable living entity, supreme personality. But what stops him from giving the best thing to us is our consciousness. Our consciousness is like a cup. The cup is crooked, then you cannot put whatever you want to put. The cup is really big and vast and deep, the Lord can pour his mercy in that. And the sadhana is meant to expand that cup of consciousness, to inspire the Lord to fill it up with his mercy. It's all up to us. Lord is ready with everything, but he's not giving because we are not ready. We are right consciousness. When we cultivate right consciousness in the company of right sincere devotees, then all that happens is natural. And we want the dealings between us and the Lord as natural, not by force. Lord, please give me mukti. You must give me mukti. I am 30 years, I am 50 years in bhakti now in ISKCON. If I am not getting mukti, who will get mukti? Lord, you think about it. I'm sorry, I have seen a devotee like this. In my hospice, end of life services, I have seen really pressing the Lord. But in case of the Lord, you cannot press anything. You cannot just force Lord. He is abhigya swarat. You may say anything, he may just ignore you. He should feel inspired from within to give you. That is within your heart as a desire. There is no question of force. Like a child forces father, give me ice candy, give me 5 rupees, give me 5 rupees. He says, no, no, no. Then you just keep the child shut. He says, okay, take and keep quiet. Don't bother me again. That is not natural. The child father comes from office and says, come, beta, come, let's go. Have ice cream today. That is natural. Bhakti is not by force. So we don't want to force the Lord to give us bhakti, to give us liberation, to give us association in Golok Vrindavan. Let it come from Him. And it will come from Him as a natural response when there is Shuddha Bhakti and simplicity of the heart with no duplicity, no crookedness, no ulterior motivation. Here Hiranyakashipu is having ulterior motivation in the heart. Whatever he is trying to show, tapasya, this, it's all hidden under is that ulterior motivation is there, which is not very pleasing to Brahma either, nor to the Lord also. That's why what's happening after getting all the benediction, he was still killed. He was still killed. But because the motivation of a devotee is very simple, ahituki, he was simply wants to serve Lord. The Lord is very happy to bestow His love to him. And he sells himself to that devotee. He becomes subservient to that devotee. He became charioteer to Arjuna. He ate berries from Shabri. What he has not done? He has taken so menial position to such devotees who are having no ulterior motivation. Our heart is very clear and simple and straightforward. Same thing in, same thing out. What we say, what we practice. To those devotees, Lord becomes, He sells Himself to those devotees. That's why He's not easily available to devotees. Because till the time we become in that consciousness, He waits. And then when that consciousness happens, He doesn't wait for an iota of second also. He offers Himself and becomes subservient. And He menial service to His devotees He performs. So this particular pathway, the glorious pathway Srila Prabhupada gave us and made our life glorious. Even while we are living in the material world here, of course this is Vrindavan, not material world, but we are in material consciousness. Still our life is glorious because we are on the path of Shuddha Bhakti. We are in the association of sincere devotees. So our life is very glorious. We have to be ultimately, utterly grateful to Prabhupada. Because He has given us the ultimate focused goal of life, that is to please the Lord. So let us all pray to the Lord sitting in this most powerful spiritual abode, that is Vrindavan Dham, the ultimate abode, that let us be free from knowingly, unknowingly, whatever ulterior motivations we have. Sometimes we don't even know that we have motivations. So whatever we know, whatever we don't know, oh my Lord, please free us from all the motivations. Let us have a ahaituki consciousness. And let us have a simple heart with no contamination of duplicity and something which is not favorable to the Lord. Let us have our consciousness favorable to the Lord. Anukalyasya. And that way let us live our life without any expectation of any gain from what we are doing in our bhakti. Let us have that mood, prayer in the heart for the Lord that I don't want to have a motivation to get some reward from You, my Lord. Let me just serve You and my service to You be only my reward. If we cultivate this consciousness, why the Lord will not bestow us with His mercy? He is hankering. By the way, I have heard from great souls that the more the eagerness that we have to receive mercy of the Lord, more eager the Lord is to give mercy to us than what we think we need to have. We are eager. More than our eagerness, Lord is eager to give the mercy to us. More than our worry about our welfare, the Lord is worried about our welfare. In such a situation, what we need to be only simple hearted, with no motivation, no ulterior motivation, and no crooked consciousness. Bas, that's all. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I pray to all of you, all sincere devotees residing in Vrindavan Dham at this moment of time, to also bestow upon me your benediction so I can be simple hearted, free from ulterior motivation, having simplicity of the heart. Hare Krishna. If there's any question, any comment, yes, Prabhuji. It's like, I'll give a simple example to you. Suppose if you go for fundraising and you are fundraising for food, food for life, then we should collect the fund and use in food for life only. But we suppose collect for food for life and use it for deity worship, then it becomes cheating. Then it incurs karma. So motivation means, suppose you have a motivation to collect for the festival for the flowers, and you are going with the form, in the form of books, and then you are distributing books and telling them this is for books and everything. So simplicity means whatever you do, just say very honestly whatever is there. Like for example, at one point of time when I was telling about our services, and the donor was arguing with me, you are taking more money and costlier, so I justified to him and I told him this is our cost of our services. And I told him, sir, you may not give if you don't want to give, but this is what the way we do. I was very honest with him. Immediately he gave donation. That time I realized that if you are very sincere and straightforward and simple hearted in your approach, you don't have to worry about anything. Just be what you are. Be honest without any motivation. Because we, when even in service to Krishna, in the early days when we were raising funds on road, just to get the money from person, we'll tell anything. If it is impressing to him that, oh, we are running a school and supporting children, we'll tell that lie to him. And then we are, somebody is impressed with some food distribution, we'll tell that to him. But finally we'll give the money to temple for deity worship. We think for Krishna we are doing, no, so we can tell anything. What is wrong? We are not putting the money into sense gratification. So it is good for that person only. But still it is not good, because we are cheating that person in one sense. So best policy is just be simple and straightforward. The person may not give you, person may not take your book also, but you be sincere and straightforward. And then you don't have to remember that finally the person comes to temple one day and he comes to know, okay, you have used the money for flowers, asking from me for the food. He will never come back to temple again, because he feels cheated. He feels in the garb of a devotee, somebody cheated me of my charitable nature. So best is tell something and do that thing only. That is best policy. And you may not get success in that initially. Afterwards you'll get success, because we are simple hearted and straightforward. Let us be honest, you know. Honesty is one of the important virtue in bhakti. We have to be very honest in whatever we say and whatever we do. And we preach in the class very nicely about four regulative principles, and we are found somewhere, you know, eating something which is, people are watching us. Oh, this guy in dhoti kurta that day was telling so many nice things, and today I see in the jean and t-shirt he is doing something outside. He may recognize you also. Us, I mean. So better we say something that we can do. Otherwise, don't say only anything. Till the time we are qualified, we can wait. And whatever we have to say, we should be honest. Hare Krishna. We should be very honest. That is all right. But as far as possible, we have to be honest. As far as possible. And if that needs to be done, we should be more, take an extra mile to inform the donor that with your permission, can we use this fund at this time for this purpose, because we have a difficulty, we have taken this money from you for this purpose, but now with the situation of emergency, can we use your money for this purpose? He will appreciate that if you call him. But if we use that without asking him, and one fine day he comes to know that you have manipulated the money, he will not give further. This is our experience in the past also. It happens. Speak in the mic. You have a question?
One question is that I have three times Lord Krishna has saved me from death. One was one question is that how to increase bhakti, because of this Kali Yuga, we are so manifested by darkness of some lalas ko de deta hai, aur koi kuch nahin, par nash karta hai. I don't drink liquid, I was eating meat before. Now I stop because I become neighbor. But yeah, this is the I have something something more now. Because my girl, I am seeing that not married. And my sister, they give me.
So what is your question? How to become?
How to bhakti more and
take shelter of a sincere senior devotee. In Delhi, there are about 12 centers now. 12 centers in NCR. So you take shelter of at least one sincere senior devotee and sincerely follow his instruction, keep his company, regular association, then in that association you'll get inspiration. Did you hear my answer? You understood my answer? You practice that first, because unless and until you take shelter of a sincere devotee, there is no question of performing bhakti. So find that sincere devotee. There are many, I know, many are there. Find one of them who is suitable to you, close to you, physically available to you. And, I may not know that person individually, but if he is the person who you have faith in, please keep his company and keep going to temple regularly. And as far as possible, whatever he says, you follow. And it will be easy for you. It is very easy to give good class, very easy to follow, very difficult to follow what I spoke. Any other comment is there? Anybody else? Yes. Loudly, please. Tapasya. Chaitanya what? No, I told that milk drinking brahmachari, Lord Chaitanya was very angry with him. He said, get him out of the assembly from Siva Sangan. What does he think of himself? That by drinking milk he can achieve my mercy and bhakti of Krishna? Get him out of the Siva Sangan. When tapasya is performed to finally achieve devotion to God, that is perfect tapasya. When tapasya is performed for self-aggrandizement, to increase self-ego and glory of oneself, that is very harmful to bhakti. So tapasya in itself is not good or bad. Tapasya done with motivation of getting pride is very bad. Tapasya done to purify yourself to please the Lord is very good. If you have a mentor, we call maybe Shiksha Guru or a counselor, you know, ask humbly, what do you think? If you have faith in him, he will reveal to you. If you have a good relation with him, he will tell you, Prabhu, there is no need to do so much tapasya. It's all right. Or if he will say, okay, very good, very good. But ultimately, our tapasya or our knowledge, our all pilgrimage, our taking bath in the river, is ultimately should be pleasing to Lord, no? Simply if I say I chanted 168 rounds today and it's going to increase my false ego, then it's not useful. But if I do it to please the Lord only, then it is going to be useful. For that matter, anything that is done to please the Lord is only valuable. Rest, all things that are done not to please the Lord will have a ulterior motivation cause behind it. It cannot be anything else, third party in between. Either the ulterior motivation is there, or there is desire to please the Lord is there. There is nothing third in this. If there is no desire to please the Lord in that, it has to be motivation. So we have to save ourselves from that. Sometimes we don't even know, out of ignorance, what are we attempting to and to achieve. Hare Krishna. So yes, I don't know how much time you have got. Pardon me, Hindi pucho. बहुत इम्पोर्टेंट क्वेश्चन है आपका. सबकी हमारी समस्या वही है. इसका कारण केवल अज्ञान है. अज्ञान. इंग्लिश में उत्तर चलेगा ना. द ओनली रीजन बिहाइंड दिस द क्वेश्चन इज इफ हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र एंड भक्ति कैन गिव सो मच हैप्पीनेस, स्पिरिचुअल हैप्पीनेस, देन व्हाई स्टिल पीपल आर रनिंग आफ्टर मनी एंड सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन. ओनली बिकॉज ऑफ इग्नोरेंस ऑफ ट्रू नॉलेज. Only because of ignorance of our identity as servant of the Lord. They don't know that they have forgotten that they are servant of the Lord. They have forgotten that the goal of life is to achieve service to the Lord. As soon as you give up Lord's association and start enjoying, then you get completely engulfed in that. Prakshekpatmika and Avarnatmika. Avarnatmika and Prakshekatmika. You are covered and you are pulled down. So in that ignorance, darkness of ignorance, you don't know what you are doing. That's why they are running after money. But moment you come in the company of sincere devotee of the Lord, then that avaran and vikshep, prakshep, both are removed, and you come to the light of reality, then you gradually give up the attachment to money and sense gratification. Yes, Prabhuji. Huh? Okay. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की, कृष्ण बलराम की. हरि बोल.